If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 14, and the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 14. We're going to be ministering on this wise this morning. In fact, I'm going to do something a little different here. You that are watching by internet, thank you for tuning in. Go get me that clear pulpit, that little small one. CC, if you don't mind, stick it down there. I'm going to do this like I do it when I in my office. I'm going to just kind of be homey. And I want everyone to listen to this because you're going to be blessed by this. I even had a chance to, I had it typed up or anything. I just wrote some more stuff. So I want to do that. If you can bring that down there. And, you know, I know it's Sunday morning and all that kind of stuff, but I just want to just be at home with you this morning as far as that's concerned. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Hallelujah. Thank you there, CC. Praise the Lord. Jonathan is a phenomenal man and is the son of the first king of Israel. He should have been the second king of Israel. But you see, the anointing is not genetic. We like to wish to God it was genetic. Because if you think about it, I mean, I wonder what Moses' boys thought about it when Joshua took over. I'm pretty sure they're a little irritated about that. How do you know that? They got that from their uncle and their aunt. Miriam and Aaron, boy, they were just mad. Don't God speak to us? Makes sense, doesn't it? You would automatically think, well, bless God, you know, I mean, you know, and that's the son or the daughter. Well, that's wonderful, but you know, that's not genetic. Now, God does that sometimes. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Jesus, Jesse. Put my name in there. You ought to put your name in there. You're the seed of Abraham, aren't you? That's not arrogance. That's just scriptural. I want to talk this morning about thinking out of the box. And that's, or learning to think out of the box. Why we do what we do, how we establish what we've established, how we continue it and perpetuate it for the next generation if Jesus tarries. Learning to think out of that box. Because we are human beings that kind of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Which is a good analogy, but you got to watch it that it doesn't turn into stagnation. Here, Jonathan is facing a situation that's impossible. Just him and his armor bearer. But it only takes two to do anything. Do you know that? Because you have to come in agreement. That's why God said, but marriage, if you argue, your prayers are hindered. Yep. Why? Because you have the power of two that will touch a world. So that's why I tell Kathy, listen to me and obey me, woman. Come on, help me out, man. Come on, give me a break here, will you? Come on. You thinking the same thing, you just ain't got the guts to say it. Lord, I got. And then sometimes she'll switch it around. Jesse, listen to me and obey me. I said, the priest wasn't talking to me when he said to love and obey. He was talking to you. Look, I was twisting the thing. Just trying to get it to work. You know what I'm saying? No, he was talking to both of us. It was under the covenant of God. Now, do you see that? Now, Jonathan says in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines, garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. Now, if you keep reading down here, you begin to find out how they begin to go down there and all that kind of stuff. And right here in verse 4, and between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Senah. The forefront of the one was situated northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. Now, you notice God knows where he's sending you. That's why he puts some of these things in there. Say, why would he just do that? Because God don't just say, go. Just throw you out there. He's got a place. He understands it's north, it's south, it's east, it's west. And he said, every place you put your foot, I'll give it to you. So he's got to, I've already examined the territory and the geography of where God is sending you. Now watch this. And Jonathan, verse 6, where I want to get to, said to his young men that bear his armor, come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. Stop there for a minute. What does uncircumcision mean? What does circumcision mean? It means covenant, to cut. That was their physical sign of God's people when he told them to circumcise every male child. Now watch this. On the eighth day. Now before anybody ever heard of health care Obamacare, if you want to call it that, whatever.
Hospitalization.
Do you know the blood doesn't coagulate on a young boy until the eighth day? Now, how did God know that? Now what they do, they put shots and stuff in a baby and it coagulates the blood like that. But on the eighth day, they would circumcise the man. So why? You just wouldn't flat bleed to death and, you know, and have a heart and getting infections and things of that nature. So God knows you completely because he created you. He created the system in your body to function properly. Okay. So it's not a religious thing as so many people call it. It's a God thing. See what I'm saying? So I see. Let's go over to this uncircumcised, which means you ain't got a chance if you're not in the covenant. Then he says this, it may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Title of this message is learning to think out of the box. In other words, you don't have to have the whole ball of wax to start or to accomplish what God has called you to do. But you have to learn to think. He said, maybe the Lord will work for us. Bless God, because he ain't restrained. And if you notice this, when a man thinks like that, he influences everybody around him. Look what his armor bearer said. And his armor bearer said in verse 7 unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Notice it wasn't in his head. Do all that is in thy heart. Turn thee before, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Or in other words, buddy, I am knit to you in a covenant relationship. You die today, I die today. You live today, I live today. Now, brother, that's love. The Bible said that a person lay down his life for his friend. That's covenant relationship, brother. No matter what happens. So write this down here. Take these notes. Learn to see beyond the normal perception of things. The reason why we minister so much, reason why we receive, do an offering teaching before an offering is received at any given time, is we have learned to think out of the box and go beyond the normal perception of things. Why? Because we do know that people need financial help. And you can't have faith for something that has not been preached to you. It must be preached and proclaimed. And then it must be explained. That's why God gives you preachers and teachers. Amen. To put it all together. So you can be preaching for a minute, glory to God, and then you'll start teaching for a minute. Because you proclaimed it and then you explained it. Do you see what I'm saying here? You have to learn to go beyond the perception, the normal perception of things. Because people say, well, you just never know what God's going to do. For years, I've had people try to make me accept a hurricane in this place. Even to the point where, you know, we ain't had one in a while. Look like we do one. They ain't saying that no more concerning Katrina. After Katrina happened, they said, oh, gee, we don't want more of that. Let's go a generation, five generations. Let's go for the rest of all your children's generation without those things. Isn't that amazing? Learn to see beyond the normal perception of things. This is what he's doing. You know, I believe the Lord gonna fight for us because he's not restrained by how many men we got. So now he's saying what God can do. So he's calling those things which be not as though they were, because they will be. Amen. Now watch it. When you do that, you get ready for criticism. The secular world will like it. The church world will criticize you. Who do you think you are? The secular world said, boy, that guy positive, ain't he? Oh, that girl's positive, man. They'll even give you a compliment. Got a good business mind. Boy, I tell you, but I mean, church was said, I just tell you one thing. I just like the way it is. I don't want nobody messing with it. Write this down. Anyone who dares to be different will encounter resistance. You get ready. When you dare to be different, you're going to encounter resistance. People are going to come at you because they're jealous. And jealousy is crueler than the grave. And they figure if they can't do it, then you can't do it. Do you know there'd be no inventions in life if people believe that? It's like they throw, like, I love Sherlock Holmes. Because everything he said was elementary, Watson. Why are you doing that? You did it 900 times, Holmes. Now I know how to do it 900 different. And now I learned out of 900 different times not to do it that way. Because it's elementary, Watson. How many know Sherlock Holmes? You know, yeah, it's elementary. It doesn't make no difference. You see, if everybody kept that kind of way of thinking, they'd never get out the box. They'd die in the box. So you're going to encounter some resistance. When I built this church, I encountered resistance. From who? The church world. He thinks he gonna build this debt free. No, I didn't think it. I knew it. Why? Because God said I could. See, when you learn to think out of the box, that was the scripture just beating my brains out. Oh, no man anything. Oh, no man anything. Oh, no man anything but to love him. Oh, no man anything. And he said the lender, what's the scripture I want to say? It's servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. What God was saying is, I don't want you to lose your sonship. I don't want Chase Bank or, and the good banks, don't misunderstand me. I don't want, a lot of these American bank, First American went out of business, all the different banks, Hibernia, all those, and good people. I'm not being critical of that. He said, I just want you to be in control. Now, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and Columbia says you should live on borrowed money. That's not a bad concept as long as everything's going good. As long as you got a job. Well, the economy's turning around. Whoa! What about all them other people ain't got no job? Well, just think how wonderful it is. The unemployment rate is down to 4%. But if you're part of the 4%, you hurting. That's easy. You know, all the people are telling you that got a job. All them government people got a job. They're not standing at the unemployment line. That's easy to say when you got a job. So anyone who dares to be different will encounter resistance. So I begin to encounter resistance. But then I looked up the word resistance. It said, submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil. It didn't say assist him. So I resisted. Nothing wrong borrowing money. I resisted losing my sonship that I wanted to be a lender because the borrower is servant to the lender. Now learning to think out of the box, that's a wonderful statement. It's, oh no man, anything but the lender. That doesn't mean, now don't get out of here thinking, oh God, I borrowed money. No, that ain't the issue, no. Because it's not a sin. That's not the issue. It's just higher levels of thinking, higher levels of growing. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you love your children, but you want them to grow up. Why? So they can leave the house and buy their own food, their own clothes. But the problem is they have babies and they come back, which is okay. So you learn to see beyond the normal perception of things. So everything you see is not normal here at Jesse the Plans Ministries or Covenant Church, because we should have a note on this. We are saving $20 million in interest payment over 22 years by building this thing debt free. That's a lot of money. That means that $20 million is being spent every year in the world evangelism. Simply because we decided to learn to think out of the box, which made no sense to my brain, but it made all sense to my spirit. And one of those things is, oh, no man anything but to love him. Now, write this down. You must have courage to break free. You got to break free of these things. Drastic measures may cause conflict. Or in other words, don't be a puppet. Don't have somebody controlling the strings. You must have the courage to break free. Drastic measures may cause conflict. When God told me to go into the ministry, full-time ministry 32 years ago, before, many of you may not know this, before I was born again, I was a nightclub entertainer. I was a rock musician. I made a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money. Wasted it all in riotous living. Came back down to Louisiana. Didn't want to come. Wanted to stay up in Dallas, Texas. That's why I had used my base there. Traveled all over. Got a job. Now, I was taking home, this is my play money. Okay, this is when gas was 29 cents a gallon, 36. I played with $13,000 a week. I'd start on Saturday and burn it by Monday. Look at that lady. It was fun. That was my play money. Because see, when you're young, you never think anything's going to ever end. When God saved me, he said, go back to Louisiana. I was born there, Lord, but I want to stay here. No, I'll just do what I tell you. Okay. And then I went and get a job at Patterson Truck Line. Why? Because the Pattersons and the Lees flew to Dallas to see me play. And I said, come on, I'm getting out of the business. They said, we're going to give you a job. We didn't even have a job opportunity, but we're going to give you one. Because you ain't going to stay here 2 weeks, Jesse. Why? Because your talent is not here. And they paid me $1.75 an hour to answer a phone. $13,000 play money to $1.75 an hour. But I was so in love with Jesus, I didn't care. It was a drastic measure. It took courage to break free. Finally, I built myself up, went to work for Shell Oil Company, became a purchasing agent for the onshore coastal regions. I mean, I bought all the dry pipe, blowout preventers, all the casing and tubing, dry pipe, all that stuff. I was one of the main factors of buying all the pipe and fixing the cognac project that happened in 1975, where there was 62 wells put on that cognac platform out in the Gulf of Mexico. I bought 95% of a bit of it as a purchasing agent for Shell Oil Company. So where you would call, you'd get on the one platform and have 62 wells actually developed out there and producing. That was unheard of. That's nothing today, but that was unheard of. It was one of the biggest operations anybody ever done. I built myself up. I started making some money, Kenny. They said, you have a future. They called me the golden boy because I was company minded. Oh, I was company minded. I lived, eat, and breathed that. They said, you can't do that. Okay. That's what you say. But you don't know how much tenacity I got. So I applied myself. And then the Lord says, I want you to go into ministry. Oh, Jesus. Now, with no assurance of getting anything, just walk by faith and not by sight. You must have courage to break free. But you know, I broke it once in the music business. So actually, it was easier. But drastic measures caused some conflict. We were just starting to set up. And I always tried to get Kathy to go against God. I said, you know, Kathy, the Lord said, you know, I feel the Lord wanting us to go. But I wanted to say, no, Jesse, we're finally starting to do good again. Doing good. Then I would say, now, Lord, it's the woman thou gavest to me. I'm trying to help myself here. You know what I'm saying? But she would say, why don't we, I tell you what, I knew that a year ago. So we stepped out by faith and still living every day by faith. How many magazines we put out every month at the time of this preaching?
I think it's about 360,000
households. 360,000 households. Where is Jessica here? Jessica, how much money do I spend at the post office every month? Do you have an idea? Give me a rough. You don't have to hit it on that. I'm thinking, what is it, $75,000 a month? $75,000 to $100,000 a month on stamps. Can't be. It's going all over the world. In 146 nations. I spend anywhere, and Jessica writes them checks, $75,000 to $100,000 a month, Marty, on stamps. And the post office is broke. None of y'all don't even think about that. Who would have thought? And it's all by faith. Yes, ma'am. Kathy's saying, Jesse, let me run over here. Glory to God, I've learned to obey my wife. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good.
Thank you. What's that?
I said that's just in the U.S. Because
that's just in the U.S. These are my directors of my Australian office. How much y'all spend?
About $10,000 to $11,000 a month.
And stamps in Australia, $10,000 to $11,000 a month. Jesus, the post office ought to give me a plaque. That's what you are doing. You are a part. Covenant Church, which is the local library, are a part of that world vision. Amen. Well, why don't you just cut them off? Because some people, that's all they have of the gospel, is that Covenant magazine. To minister to them. Took drastic measures. It takes great courage every month to believe in it. They said, well, you know what most financial people say? Well, just cut them people off. They hadn't given you nothing in 10 years. Just cut them off. Why didn't you do it? Write this down. A person who fluctuates back and forth sends unstable signals. I refuse to fluctuate back and forth. James chapter 1 verse 8 says a double-minded man is what? Is what? Unstable in all his ways. See, you'll never learn to live out the box if you're unstable. Let me say it again. A person who fluctuates back and forth sends an unstable signal to people around you. I have told this to my staff. They get paid on the 15th and the what, Jessica, Daniel?
Last day of the month.
The last day of the month. And 30, okay. This is, this ain't true, but if I got up and had a staff meeting tomorrow and just say, y'all know, even though it's a lie from the pits of hell, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay y'all come the end of this month. Just lying. It would cause a shudder in the ministry. Oh. Why? Because I've never fluctuated once paying them. So they consider me stable. The post office considers me stable. I went over there the other day and they said, we're so glad that you help us. We got a post office here because it's because of you. I said, well, thank you. Praise the Lord. I said, it's really because of our partners and friends that help us preach the gospel all over the world. Well, whatever, son, but we ain't looking for them. We're looking for Jesse. A person who fluctuates back and forth sends an unstable signal. Why? James 1, don't be double-minded. A double-minded man is in what? Oh, it's not just in the thing that he changed his mind on. In all his ways. So when you learn to live out of the box, it actually produces stableness for you and foundation that you can plant in. Now write this down. I love this statement. Negative information is always free. Negative information is always free. Positive information must be searched for and even sometimes created. Somebody going to give you some negative information almost every day of your life, and it's always free. But notice when it's positive, they want to charge you. they want me to hire them as counselors for their positive information. But they don't mind telling me what you're doing is wrong. They're free. Negative information is always free. Positive information must be searched for. And let me get a little deeper on this, or even create it. And that's what Romans 4:17 is. It's positive information being created, calling those things we'd be not as though they were. Psalms 89:34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. That is positive information. You search for that. You're creating that in your innermost being. If God be for me, who could be against me? I'm more than a conqueror. I say to that mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, not doubt my heart. Believe those things that I say shall come to pass. I'm going to have whatsoever I say it. Because God is able to make all grace abound to me. Yeah. I, having all sufficiency in all things, I abound to every good work. Yeah. See, that's positive information. Sometimes you got to search for it. And if you can't find it, you create it. Amen. That's learning to think out the box. Instead of saying, well, we just got to take what comes. I had a man ask me one time, when you were in that terrible tsunami that hit Bonne Aceh, several years ago. They killed over 250,000 people. Brother Jesse, what would you have done if you'd have been standing there? I said, I wouldn't have been standing there. I'd have been running. But I'd have been rebuking it in the name of Jesus. I mean, I'm going to get some place. I mean, I'm not going to stand there. Like, Jesse, no, I'm a rebuke. But see, the man that learned how God saved the man in a whole orphanage was he could have stayed out on the grass, but he got in a boat and then he rebuked it. And the wave went around him.
Amen.
Mm. I refuse to fluctuate. And if I have to, I will create positive information or search for it. But I notice negative information is always free. I tell you, there's always somebody. I told Carmen the other day, she's been searching a lot of things for Kathy concerning this house. Where did I come? I got to her desk. She said, now, Brother Jesse, I said, Carmen, don't tell me no. Don't tell me no. Find this thing. All right. And she went to find it. And she went spiritually to Italy and got back, but she found it. I said, don't tell me no. No. We can do this. Now, I don't mean that to be hard and rude, but you see, if you don't watch yourself, you can settle for second best. But I learned something to seek you first, the kingdom of God. Because see, you can't get second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth till you seek you first. So negative information is always free. Positive information must be searched for or even created. Y'all enjoying this?
Yes.
Now, what gives me this tenacity? Let me show you what it is. It's not that I'm better than you. Write this down. Faith never allows your destiny to be settled by chance. Faith never allows your destiny to be settled by chance. You should not be gambling with your future. Because everything in a casino is a chance. But everything in the Word of God is a sure bet.
Amen.
I don't live by chance. See what I'm saying? Because I actually found out what God could do. And the Bible said, He can do all things. Then He even got stronger. Russell, He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Which strengtheneth me. So where does our strength come from? From Him. Not from a big donation. Because our security is not in money. I honestly believe the reason why God tells people to give to our ministry is because of the strength that He has in us to produce the 30, the 60, the 100-fold, the 1,000 times, to get you out of debt, to get that off, to make you think out the box that you don't have to live and pay 30 years on something that you can have whatsoever you sayeth. Whatsoever. I can't say that enough. And yet people misinterpret. He just wants your money. I don't want your money. What I want is your harvest on your money. And what I mean by that, because if your harvest comes 30, 60, and 100-fold, this ministry will be taken care of because you're a giver and you have more than enough to do anything you want anywhere, anyhow, anytime. Now, you see, if somebody would edit what I just said, just edit that end up, they would say, you see that? He just wants your money. No, man, I'm trying to get something to you. I ain't trying to get something from you. Do you see that? Why? Because I believe in you. I really, really do. Woo. Write this down. Boy, no, let me stay on that again. Faith never allows your destiny to be settled by chance. I didn't build this church by chance. I didn't build Jesse Fenn's ministry by chance. You never heard Jesse say, well, I just hope it may work and it may not. We're going to just jump out there. And if we drown, we drown. Or if we swim, we swim. I couldn't get a soul to work for me if I said that. I want you to quit your job and come work for me, but we may not pay you, but you know. You know, people are going to say, think I'm going to stay where I'm at. My daddy would have died several years ago, my father. One time at a hospital in home of Louisiana. He was dying. He just given up. Everybody thought I was cruel. They thought I was cruel. But I learned it from my mama, not being cruel, on how to handle my daddy. My mama said, "Dad, your daddy, sometimes he gets hit so hard, he'll just lay down. If you don't watch him, he'll die." And he got sick and he just has given up. My daddy has false teeth. How do I know that? Because I bought him a pair. He wanted a pair for Christmas one time, so I bought him a pair of false teeth. It's kind of funny. You see somebody false teeth, you know, hey, you go, Dad, oh yeah, God, glory to God. Used to freak me out when I'd go to the bathroom and see my dad's teeth in the glass. Good God. But anyway. So I go to the hospital. Now everybody call me and think I'm going to say this. Lana, use Daryl's example. Oh, Dad, you all right? Dad, you okay, man? Oh, Dad, listen, I love you. You know, you're such a blessing. And that's all true. That's not the issue. I walk in there and there he is. Now he's got this woman taking his false teeth out. I'm not being critical because my dad's still living today. He's 86 now. He's doing good. He done married a woman younger than Kathy. He's doing real good. So, hey, he said, I'm a happy man. Hey, come on, Daddy. So he do. But I tell you, he'd never married Joyce. He's dying. He's going to give up, man. And everybody thinks I'm so cruel. I walk in there and I went, Daddy, what's the word of God said concerning you? I put your own false teeth back in your mouth. Get out your bed and go to the bathroom. Get up. What did Jesus say about you? He said, the word of God says, by stripes I'm healed. I said, do you believe that? He said, yes, I do. I said, no, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Yes, you do. I got it all mixed up, man. I'm just hollering at it. And I can see that lady going, I can't believe he talking to daddy like that. I said, now, daddy, you a man. You know what the word of God said. You don't want to tell us all to get saved. Come on. You can suck it up. You can. He said, that's what the word of God suggests. I'll tell you one thing. He pulls that sheet off that bed. He go to the bathroom. He walk out of that hospital. Now, I didn't want to do that. Oh, I was criticized royally for that. Because people were saying, you know, you're living, Brother Paul. You live a long life. He wasn't finished yet. But he would have finished before his time. I'm not bragging on me. It has nothing to do because I'm not worthy to latch my dad's shoelaces. That's not the issue. Because he birthed me. You understand? At least I think he did. Glory to God. You know, I found out I was illegal. I didn't know that. Or illegitimate. My sister called it illegal. Ain't that the crazy? I didn't know that until Mama died. Mama kept that secret to the grave. I don't know if y'all know this. My sister Deborah wanted a copy of Mama's and Daddy's marriage certificate. So they went to Jennerette, Louisiana. Now, my mother celebrated my birthday July the 9th on her anniversary. I thought I was born on my mother's. Mama cooked the books. And when Deborah found out today, she said, Jesse, you illegal. I said, I'm illegal. And she said, and Wayne's real illegal. And Daddy's 86. I said, Daddy, why do you tell? Oh, you know, I'm so old now, I don't remember all that. But in those days, if you got pregnant, oh, God. Which brings me to this. Never cease to do difficult things. That was difficult for me to do, Darren. I don't want to tell it to my father. Never cease to do difficult things, even if you lose approval or become disliked. You don't cease to do difficult things because you heard the voice of God. Even if you lose approval or become disliked. It's not easy learning to live out of the box. Sometimes it's called tough love. You got to let them kids go. It ain't easy. You know, he's my daughter. I never, my son. I understand that. But sometimes it's not an easy thing. And they may get mad at you for a long time. But you never cease to do difficult things. Even if you lose approval. Man, I love that. Even if you lose approval or you become disliked for a while, because what go around will come around. So you're learning to live out the box. You're not letting anything be settled by chance. I let my life be settled by my choices, not by chances. You see that? Now, I've said this many times. I'll just add this in there. Never focus on, always focus on your priorities, and you'll eliminate your confusion. Now, that's not an original statement from me. I don't remember what minister. I think it was Mike Murdoch. I might have been wrong. So maybe someone else said it. But I heard someone said it, and it really struck me. Maybe I wrote the thing. I don't even know. You know, you forget after a while, you know. You focus on your priorities, you eliminate all your confusion. Which means, takes me to this next point. Never deviate from your mission. If you want to be defeated, just get distracted. You never deviate from your mission. Have y'all noticed in all these years I've been here, I haven't stopped taking giving an offering teaching. I haven't stopped being blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed. Do you know how many people got mad at me and have left this church because of my watch? Am I telling the truth? He just got nice watches. He just bragging about his watch. No, I am bragging about my watch. You don't want to keep telling me to look at it so I don't preach too long. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, for God's sake. You wish to God I'd look at the watch. You know, people left here because of these cameras. People don't come to this church anymore because of these cameras. Well, I don't like all them television cameras in here. Sometimes it gets in my way. Yeah. But we're preaching the way, the truth, and the life to the whole world this morning. Yeah. Can't you see that? Left this church. Some people left this church because Pastor Sostran's no longer here. Boom, get all mad about that. We ain't trying to hurt nobody. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Some people get mad because, you know, we had crawfish the other day instead of catfish. Well, you old ugly fool, bring some catfish and eat it here. Now, I don't mean that to be rude, but good Lord. How much I spent on a crawfish?
Just the crawfish?
Yeah, well, how much was that crawfish?
$9,000.
$9,000 just for the crawfish. How much it cost for the whole thing to eat?
$20,000.
I bought your meal, cost me $20,000, and you mad at me because of a catfish? Is that insane? Well, why didn't you just charge them $4, $5, $7.50, $8.50 for a plate? Because, you know, you tithers and givers, and every once in a while, we just like to be a blessing to you. But we're going to catch it. We're going to catch it. You ever notice how much our church grows when we feed people? Let me say it. You ever notice? Somebody say it again. You ever notice how much our church grows when we feed people? We have people that don't even go to their churches. Even the ones that left us come back and eat. That's okay. I don't care. I'll feed you, man. It don't matter never to me. I'll be honest with you. One time Pastor Sostrin came to me. He's all disturbed and he's discouraged. I said, what's the problem, David? Somebody left the church. I said, they left the church. I said, okay. I said, are they going in? They go in the vineyard. I said, well, that's wonderful. He said, no, it ain't wonderful. They left the church. I said, no, it would be bad if they wasn't going to church. I don't think Vineyard's a bad place. I'm not against any church. I'm just glad they're going to church. Now, do I want them here? Yes, I want them here. Why? Not so I can just count the hits. I just miss them. I wish they were. And maybe they'll come back. That's not the issue. But if I don't deviate from the mission, because if I get distracted, I'll get defeated. So I prefer not to be defeated. And the only way you get defeated is if you get distracted. You know why Catherine Duplantis married me? She did not get distracted. Come on, help me out there. Okay, rebuke the devil for lying on me. Go ahead. Hallelujah. I mean, girls, man, when they want a man, they want a man. Am I right, Marty? I got Marty. It's wonderful. I tell you what, son, when you want something, you go for it. Marty says, go talk over there. I don't want to hear a word you got to say. But there's nothing wrong with that. Why? Well, you love somebody. You're trying to get their attention. I've had some people leave this church because somebody liked them. Because they were scared that they were going to pray and God was going to make them fall in love with a person. I am not kidding you. I did say this one time. I shouldn't say this, but I'll tell you. This, I said, well, why don't you like the person? Because he's ugly. I said, he's ugly? I said, take your contacts out and everything turned fine. You won't be able to see the boy because he's really nice. I don't know. God help us. Learning to think out the box. Write this down. Self-confidence must emanate from oneself. Self-confidence must emanate from oneself. What does that mean? Write this down. You must have power over yourself. Why? Why should you have power over yourself? Because people pick up on that energy. They pick up on that energy. Don't you like confident people? What would you do if President Obama got up and said, oh, Jesus, we don't know what we're going to do. He tells that Congress, makes a matter of the heart, I want this bill passed by this certain date. And boy, people get mad. But really, that's what presidents should do. That's leadership. Now, whether you agree or disagree, the concept is right. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, all we have is all we have to fear is fear itself. On December 7th, 1941, a date that will live in infamy. Boy, before the Congress, he's asking the Congress to go to war. The Imperial Empire of Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. That ain't fun. All those, well, just in Arizona, 1,100 men still underneath that in that grave in that ship. I've been on that ship. Well, not on the ship, on the memorial of the ship. I mean, you see, and the oil is still leaking from it. Nobody wanted that. Nobody didn't want the Twin Towers to go down. My God. And yet some people say, well, you know, the government was behind it to implode the Twin Towers. Wait, what, you want to build a new building so you're going to kill everybody? Nobody wanted that. But you know what? When those things happen, you got to have leadership. You cannot get distracted or you will be defeated. So self-confidence must emanate from oneself. You must have power over yourself. People pick up on that energy. I thought one of the greatest presidents' reactions was when the space shuttle exploded and President Reagan walked on it. You know, now, you know, whether you like Reagan or not, he did look presidential. He put that overcoat on and that white shirt, and when he walks on, that man looked like the president of the United States. He went comfort those people. He reached out to them. And he had the gall and audacity to say something that shook this nation. If you pay people to be poor, they will stay poor. Reagan was not against poor people. He wanted them out of poverty, not in welfare. Amen. He wanted them to get out of that, I don't know, that curse of constantly having to live in a project. Ron knows what I'm talking about. He was raised that way. That is not fun. That's why he told me that many times. I made up my mind as a kid, I'm getting out of this hole. He realized it was a hole. So to me, I like Reagan. Now, some things Reagan did I didn't agree with. You don't agree with everybody, but I like the way he looked. He looked presidential. Now, Jimmy Carter. And I like Jimmy Carter. Do you know probably, now this is my opinion, probably the most intelligent president we've ever had? Jimmy Carter. You know, a physicist, an engineer, brilliant. But weak. Why? Well, we got hostages. Good man. Probably the best ever ex-president we've ever had. Till he opens his mouth. I'm being a little political here. And I like him. But you know, you got to give it to him. At least he speaks what he believes. George Herbert Walker Bush. Let me get political. Probably had the highest approval rating, 91%? And couldn't win a second term. George W. Bush. You can say what you want, but you've been safe when he was there. He couldn't talk too good. But I'll tell you one thing. Where's Osama bin Laden? He's still in that hole, isn't he? You got to give it to him for that. So all of them got good qualities. That's what made them presidents. What made Abraham Lincoln our greatest president? What? You talk about look the world in the face and say slavery is wrong. Touching every pocketbook. You know where he learned it from? An Englishman named William Wilberforce, who made the whole world look at slavery as something terrible. And you don't even know about him. Most of y'all don't know. You ought to read the book on William Wilberforce. My God, what a blessing. So self-confidence must emanate from oneself. You must have power over yourself. People pick up on that energy. And that's just simply a fact. So I have to be strong. But sometimes I just want to cry. But I learned something from General Norman Schwarzkopf, that four-star general that went to war with Iraq on that first Gulf War. He said, I'd be very afraid of a general that don't cry. I like that. Why? Because he's still human. I like people that can make decisions. I love that black general. I think it was a general that came here after Katrina. General Russell on the Reef. I think that man has some great wisdom. I think he could be a great political person if he'd run. And I love what he said to all the media and everybody here when he left. Don't get stuck on stupid. But notice, when that general hit the ground, things start happening. Oh, did you know he was black? Oh, I thought black people can't think. Heard that for centuries. Can't have a black quarterback. Can't lead a nation. Can't lead a team. How many black people know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm, they said that junk. They were wrong. Amen. The color of your skin doesn't deal with the color of your brain. Amen. Your brain is your brain. You see what I'm saying? Somebody was afraid that they would lose their position. Margaret Thatcher, what they call her, the Iron Horse, Lady Iron, something like that. What was her nickname? The Iron Lady. That's an Iron Horse. I tell you what, son. Oh, Thatcher, something still is. Old as she is. Oh, Winston Churchill. I say he's perfect. I told the people Friday night. I've read all his speeches. I read all these wonderful speeches. If you wouldn't hear, this is the funniest thing. He did drink a lot. He drank 3 bottles of champagne every night before he went to bed. And then brandy during the day and whiskey. He drank. And some lady walked up to him at one of those, you know, political things. And said, Churchill, you're drunk. He said, woman, you ugly, but I'm going to be sober in the morning. I love that, man. I just think that's a phenomenal quote. Churchill, you drunk. Woman, you ugly. But I'm going to be sober in the morning, Lord Jesus. And what happened?
We'll fight them on the beaches. We'll fight them in the trenches. We will never surrender. We shall never surrender. He didn't talk kind of funny, but he won that war. Yeah.
Woodrow Wilson. I believe we can have a league of nations if we could get all nations to come together and don't bend to the left or to the right, but to think for the planet instead of just think for each other's nation. Something can happen. And the beginnings of the UN were powerful, but then things begin to sway. People that have these wonderful thoughts, these great men and women of God, man. Yeah. People that were willing to just step out and do something. Learning to think out that box. That wonderful black lady said, I don't talk very good. She says, but I saved many slaves. Put her life on the line. those great and wonderful people who are willing to do whatever it takes. That's thinking out the box. My God. Man, think about that. All those wonderful men that gave the supreme sacrifice. But especially those that received the Congressional or the Medal of Honor. That knew they were going to die. But thought that their comrades, that their buddies were more important. And the mission was more important than their own lives. Now, you can't prove this true and I can't prove it's not. But I believe there's a specialness somewhere. In heaven somewhere. For men and women that have made the supreme sacrifice, knowing they were going to die to save a company, a regiment of men. I just personally believe that. I just do. Because they knew they were walking in there and they wasn't coming out. But they knew that the regiment was. Buddy, that's honor. And you're going to criticize that? But you know what? In this great nation, our founding father says you have the right to criticize it. That's amazing to me. Which brings me to this last statement. I'm going to go back to that double-mindedness. The great scourge of humanity is double-mindedness. Now, I want you to focus on this statement. It is a form of spiritual disorder. The great scourge of humanity is double-minded. Flip-flop it. It's a form of spiritual disorder. Your spirit is not in order. And God said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Mark chapter 3, verse 25. I believe it's verse 25. Yeah. A house divided against itself cannot stand. It's spiritual disorder to flip-flop, to be double-minded, unstable. It's the scourge of humanity. How many men and women have died on the battlefields because somebody flip-flopped? How many people died in accidents? Prime example, the Titanic. They didn't want to put enough boats on because it didn't look good. It made the boat look so well. It's the ship that'll never sink. So they don't have enough rescue boats. But watch those guys in that Twin Tower. Do you know how hard it is to walk up 105 floors? That's what those firemen did on 9/11. Going up with heavy equipment. I mean, that's why they got elevators. To try to help somebody. Knowing that they may die. And they did. And don't get paid much or nothing. Think about that. Think about that if you have stairs in your house or if you go somewhere that got stairs and you get to the top, you suck and win. 105 floors. Packing maybe a 70 pounds or an oxygen tank that weighs 40 pounds or 50 pounds to try to help somebody. Think about that. Now that's order, buddy. And then the whole thing come down. When all the guys, they think they're so powerful, are running in caves. They won't stick their head out. They're not willing to fight you like a man. Let me say that again. The scourge of humanity is double-mindedness. It's a form of spiritual disorder. I refuse to have spiritual disorder in my life. So, some of the great sayings of learning to live out the box is, oh, no man anything but to love him, which makes no sense to the natural mind. Watch this one. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. No, I'm first. Whoever will be the greatest must become the least. Oh, that's hard to swallow. Here's the best one. I must decrease and he must increase. That's why he was called the greatest preacher the God ever put in shoe leather. John the Baptist. That boy could preach hell so hot, you smell smoke when you got around him. And he looked the top man of the day today and said, you're an adulterer. Come on. Boy, he ain't fluctuating in it. But yet, right before his death, He's still human. Here's this lustful, demonic ruler and a fine, foxy mama dressed, dancing naked in front of him. And the mama saying, ask for his head. And he sends a message to Jesus. Are you the one or should we wait for another? Don't blame that boy for that. What did Jesus even answer? He said, well, since you want to go by what you see, tell him that the dead are raised, the blind see. Then Jesus said something that was phenomenal because he had no disorder at all in his life. He said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. But he said, somebody, John, I ain't working fast enough for you. That sound familiar today? Oh, you offended at God? I didn't want to let go. Wait a minute. See, this is learning to live out the box. And I honestly believe John sucked it up. And then I think what really hit him was his own statement. I must decrease and he must increase. Now, that's not learning to live out the box. I don't know what it is. And we're still talking about him today. Oh, and of all those women that followed Jesus, the one that nobody would have ever had, anybody wanted to do with is Mary Magdalene. Yet they talk about her more than they almost talk about the mother of Jesus. And she's carried that burden of something that Jesus forgave her for centuries. Isn't that amazing? You think about it, learning to live out the box. You think about the mother of Jesus before you criticize her. If my mama took to the grave that I was illegal, I can't get over that, my sister. Or mom and dad wasn't married when she was pregnant for me. They still say that about Mary. Isn't that sad? The mother of Christ. I'm amazed at that. That's why you don't hear me talk bad about Mary. I didn't say I pray to her, but nobody likes nobody talking about their mama. And Jesus don't like nobody talking about his mama. That's his mother. You better realize and understand that, Protestant. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I ain't saying getting into the doctrinal thing. I ain't talking about the praying and all that. I'm just talking about, think for a minute. She bore the Son of God. And they've been trying to kill him the day he's born. They're trying to get to him. Because you can imagine the weight that she had. But she carried it faithfully because she never walked in spiritual disorder. She wasn't double-minded. Isn't this a good message this morning, Lord Jesus? Does it help you? Does it reach out to you? So, if you run over those notes a little bit, you'll find yourself in it. And then you take those things and you wear that badge of honor. And I made up my mind, the Lord Jesus Christ saved me and set me free and forgave me of my sins. So the least I can do is praise and worship him. And people may criticize me because I receive offerings and give offering teachers. But if you listen to me, I will get you out of debt. If you listen to me. But if you want to criticize me, that's all right. Because I'm not stopping. And if you don't like the way I live, I'm sorry. The Lord loves it. Oh, I made some people mad right there. You say, I don't mind saying the difficult things, get disapproved, but I am obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. And I may take the heat of the world, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to have me a nice crown. And he's going to bless me while I'm here. Spiritually, physically, financially, I just expect it. Oh, you heard me. I just expect it because he just simply said it. Did you enjoy it this morning? Yes. Give Jesus a hand clap for that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah.